Many years ago, I had a situation on the first day of a stop smoking clinic. There was one woman who came into the room, and she was early. There was no one else in the room yet. I was the only one there. I was starting to set up the projector and get material out of my briefcase to, to get to set up to do the first day of this program. This woman came in and asked, am I the person who runs the clinic? And I said, yes, I'm Joel. I'm the one who will be doing the program. And she said, well, I've come in because I just wanted to tell you that I'm not joining this clinic. And I'm thinking, and I actually wasn't sure what to say next. I mean, she basically was telling me she drove to the hospital, came to the lower level meeting room to tell me she wasn't going to join a clinic. So I kind of was a little bit dumbfounded for a few seconds, and I said, that's nice. Why did you come? And she's just kind of standing there, and then she says, well, I came to get my money back. And then all of a sudden it made sense. There was one woman who had mailed in a check in advance. And normally, I would never take money in advance. The first session I always do for free, and the reason I do that, I want to make sure people know what they're getting into before they even join the clinic. I don't want people coming in who have no interest in quitting smoking, because the odds are I'm not going to be able to do a whole lot for them. I want to give them the information that they need when they're ready to quit to do it, but I'm not going to force them into a program. And the way she said it in the beginning, I just had the impression, well, she doesn't want to quit smoking. And as I realized who she was, that she was coming to get her check back, and now everything made sense, I started digging through my briefcase, because I did bring it. I knew I had a check in there. I'd gotten it probably like 3 weeks to a month earlier, but I remember putting it in there. And then, just for small talk, because it was this awkward silence, I asked her, how come you're not joining? Or, how come you're not, wanting to quit now? And she said, well, I got this party on Sunday, and there's no way I can get through this party on Sunday without smoking. So it's really stupid to quit smoking on Tuesday, go through what I hear is withdrawal Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday when I know I'm going to blow this thing on Sunday. Well, this was different. When she first came in, I just thought the way she was saying she wasn't joining is she didn't want to quit. No, that's not what she's saying. She's saying she can't quit now because she's got this event coming up, six days down the road, and she can't get through this event without smoking. Well, this is different. You see, that's what the clinic is for. The clinic is to try to help people understand that, no, everything you do as a smoker, and I mean this, everything you do as a smoker, you can do as an ex-smoker. You can even do it this quickly. By Sunday, this won't be that big of a deal. And I was saying, no, you really should do this program. I mean, you'll be ready for this thing by Sunday. That's really a non-issue. Well, she's saying, no, there's no way. There's no way I'm going to get through this party without smoking. And I'm going at her saying, no, you can get through this party without smoking. You can do it. And I literally talked her into the program. Now, and again, I very rarely would do this where I talk someone in, but I didn't really want her not joining with the idea like this just wasn't the right time because of a certain event. Because you know what? Anytime she goes to quit smoking, there's going to be some event that will either be coming up or that will come up unexpectedly. And she'll write off this time as a good time to quit because she has to get through this event by being a smoker. So I talk her into the program, and I tell her, you'll be much more ready by Sunday than you ever believe. Well, I'm signing her in on the Wednesday when she comes the next day. The clinic starts on a Tuesday. I'm signing her in. I ask how she's doing. She says, yeah, I did okay. I made it all day, but I got this party. And she started trembling when she talked about this party. And nobody's around yet. And I said, come on. This is Wednesday. The party's not till Sunday. We'll deal with that on Sunday. Don't worry about it right now. The first day of the clinic, I usually go around and I get people to introduce themselves and tell us how much they smoked or how long they smoked, why they're quitting now, how it's gone over the last 24 hours. Just how things are going in general. And she gets a chance to introduce herself the first day of the clinic. And I ask, the same questions I ask of her, to everybody else. She goes and starts to introduce, and she says what her first name is and why she, how long she's been smoking, that she's quitting now. I don't even remember what the reasons she was saying that she was quitting now. What was initially got her to sign up before she even understood this party was going to be an event. Well, anyway, she gets finishing that introduction, then she gets to the part at the end, and she says, yeah, I did okay today. It wasn't too bad, but I got this par. And she couldn't say tea. She said par and broke down crying. And I had to tell the group what she's trying to say. I said, I've had this discussion with her. She's got this party on Sunday. She doesn't think she's going to get through it. It's not a big deal. We'll deal with this thing closer to the weekend. So that's all well and good for that day. The next day I'm signing her in again. This is Thursday. I ask her how she's doing. She says, yeah, I did okay. I wasn't too bad, but I got this party, broke down crying, saying party, and she wasn't going to make it. I said, don't worry about it. It's Thursday. Now, on Friday, I get a panel of people in clinics. Panels are people who've gone through the clinics. Some people have been off maybe for a few months. Some people may be off for a few years and a few decades, depending on, you know, who shows up on a panel. And what I do is I have the panelists introduce themselves the same way as a group does on the second day of the clinic. How much they smoked, why they quit when they did, how it's going now, you know, to see that change in perspective. So the panelists all introduce themselves, and then I open up for questions and answers. And what I do is I look at the group, I say, well, does anyone have any questions for any of the individual panelists? The lady with the parties in the front row, she raises her hand. I knew what her question was going to be. I think everybody in the group who was there the prior days knew what her question was going to be. The panelists were all new. They had not seen her before. So I was going to let her go through the formality of asking the question. She looked at them earnestly, big eyes. She said, "Did you have a party?" And broke down crying about the party. And I had to finish for the panelists, you know, saying what was going on. She's worried about this party on Sunday. One of the panelists looked at her and said, "Listen, there's nothing you're doing this week as important as not smoking. If you're just worried about it, don't go to the stupid party." Well, her response to that is, "It's at my house, I'm the host, I got to be at the party." Okay, so she has no way around this. She has to be at this party. And she's worried about it. Well, we had a problem with this particular clinic. We couldn't get a meeting room on a Monday night. Normally, I go Tuesday through Friday, Monday, and then the following Monday. So I'm trying to help people over that first 4 days, which, again, we're dealing with a three-day withdrawal period. And then I want to meeting at the tail end of the weekend because people are really nervous about the weekend, and then they get, you know, another week under their belt, and then we have our final graduation session. Well, we couldn't get a meeting room for the Monday night. The hospital I was working at was under construction and rooms were at a premium. We could not get a meeting room on a Monday night. It turned out we couldn't even get a meeting room on a Tuesday night. And I told the group, we have an option here. We could either meet on Sunday night or we could meet on Wednesday night. I was not thrilled with the Wednesday option. People are nervous about that weekend. And I really want them to not walk out on Friday and think, okay, just make it till Wednesday. It's too far to think about. You know, making it through Monday is tolerable, but making it till Wednesday, it's too long of a stretch. I don't want to put the group into that kind of situation. So I said to the group, I can come on both days. I will come on both days. If someone can't make one, I'll do the other. But I asked how many people can make it Sunday. Well, everyone was able to make it on Sunday. The lady with the party could make it on Sunday. Her Sunday was an afternoon, late afternoon affair. It was going to be over around 6 o'clock or so, and then she would have a short distance to drive to get to the hospital by 7 o'clock. And I pointed out to her, I said, I'm not doing this for you. This isn't why it's happening. But I pointed out, like, this is really an advantage here. I mean, think about it. If you were going to a meeting or a party or a gathering that you were really worried about, but right afterwards you go straight to a meeting to help you, you know, secure your quit, that gives you a little bit of a psychological edge. And she agreed. She realized that, you know, that's working great. But she was still terrified that she wouldn't be able to do this. I call her up on Saturday to see how she's doing. She's going nuts on the phone because she's cleaning for the party. It's this preparation level that's now getting her in. She says, I never should have done this. I'm going to blow it. I can't succeed. This is nuts. It was all for nothing. I said, come on. It's Saturday. I'll talk to you before the party on Sunday. I call her up. It was about a half hour before her party was supposed to start. She's going nuts on the phone, but she hasn't smoked. But she's saying, people are going to come anytime now. I'm never going to make it. This is it. I'm going to lose it. It was the dumbest thing I ever did, quit smoking. I said, okay, let's calm down for a second. Let's not worry about even getting through the party at this point. You know, let's first get through this phone call. But now what I'm saying is, I want you to focus. Don't worry about getting into through the evening. Just make it through this thing, you know, just 1 minute at a time. You know, just start facing the people coming and start dealing with them one-on-one. I said, listen, if it gets real bad, if it all of a sudden you realize this is it, you're going to smoke. I said, okay, I can't stop you, but give me a call first. Just tell me you're going to go back to smoking. Okay, give me and I said, I won't take any longer than 2 minutes. Give me a minute or two to talk to you. And if I can't talk you out of it in the 1 or 2 minutes, well, you can smoke. I won't give you a hard time about it, but at least give me the opportunity to talk to you. And I made her promise me, call me before you smoke. She promised she would call before she spoke. I said, okay, now listen, if you don't have a problem, just come straight to the meeting. Don't clean up. Don't do anything else. If I don't hear from you, then come straight to the meeting. And she promised I would either hear from her, you know, that she was going to go back to smoking, or I would see her at the meeting. I get to the meeting room, it's at 7:30 this particular night, and I get there, and everyone's coming in. And I'm there a few minutes before 7:30. Everyone's coming in with this group, one after another, saying, "How's Lady with the party? How's Lady with the party?" They felt bad for her, and they were sick and tired of her at the same time. You could tell, but it was like they wanted to know how she was. I said, "Listen, I talked to her about a half hour before the party. She promised me. She promised she would call before, before she'd smoke. I haven't heard from her. She said she'd show up to the meeting, so she should be here any minute." And I believe she would be there any minute. 7:35, 40, 45, 50, she's not in the room. 5 minutes to the hour, she's not in the room. Everyone had now thought she went back to smoking. I thought she went back to smoke. I figured, oh, God, she was right. I should never have talked her in. She knew what was going to happen the first day. I thought we'd lost her. I thought she lied to me on the last phone call, and she didn't call. She strolls in the back of the room. It was somewhere between 5 minutes to the hour and 3 minutes to the hour. She strolls into the back of the room. Someone saw her come in before I did, and they turned to her, and they went, "How was it?" And she went, "I was what?" And they went, the party without smoking. And she said, "Oh, that. It was nothing." And she said it just like that. And the group couldn't figure out what happened. Was this a different lady or something? And we knew it was her. She was distinctive looking. We knew who she was. And they couldn't understand, how could she have been so blasé about this? How could it have been so matter of fact? When you go into a situation with this level of trepidation, like, oh, this is going to be terrible. I'm never going to make it. I'm going to fail. You're so ready for whatever's going to happen. You are. If it's bad, you're ready for it. If you're not bad, you're pleasantly surprised. When it really can catch you off guard, it's not when you go into a situation like this. It's when you leave a situation like this. If you're worried about a party or a gathering or a meeting, when you go into it, your guard is up. This is going to be terrible. This is going to be terrible. I'm never going to make it. But once you get through it, well, you can get into your car, you'll put on your seatbelt, you'll take a nice deep breath and think, wow, I got through that without smoking. Boy, do I deserve a cigarette for that. And that's the reaction you're going to get. It's almost an instantaneous, overwhelming reaction. She didn't have that. I know that happens to a lot of people. But again, she was coming straight to the meeting. It's a type of thing, though, everyone here is worried about something. That they can't do this, they can't do that. You'll amaze yourself. It really is crucial that you recognize during the quitting process and really over the rest of your life that everything you did, everything you faced, everything you could accomplish as a smoker, you can accomplish as an ex-smoker. And the way you do that is, again, by just simply living your life, getting through these activities which you thought were going to be difficult, but remembering why you quit and, again, staying committed to just never take another puff.